I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which this episode is recorded, the Gubbi Gubbi people. I would also like to acknowledge the First Nations peoples and language groups across this entire nation in which conception, pregnancy, and sacred motherhood knowledge has been shared. We pay our deepest respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and further extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Hello, hello, and welcome! You are listening to The Oxytocin Hour. I'm your host, Dana. I'm a midwife, mum of five, and all-round oxytocin enthusiast. People are all too willing to share their negative experiences of conception, pregnancy, labour, birth, and beyond. The Oxytocin Hour is your safe haven, filled with positive experiences from mums, dads, doulas, midwives, and everyone in between. Each week we will release a new episode with the intent to uplift and inspire you. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Now, let's get into today's episode. This and every episode of the Oxytocin Hour is strictly for entertainment purposes and is not to be used as medical advice. Welcome back to another episode of the Oxytocin Hour, and if it's your first time here, thank you so much for joining me here today, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of this episode. The question for today's Dear Dana episode is, why do midwives hate doctors? And I thought it was a funny, not funny, but I thought it was an unusual question to get in my question box because usually people ask a lot more specific things, and I thought it was kind of a bold statement to make, or it was just a bold question, very generalized, and I thought it was very interesting. So I decided to message back the person that sent that question just to get a bit of background as to where the question came from. I was like, you know, do you specifically know of a midwife that hates all doctors? Did you just read a lot of stuff online and you kind of deduced that midwives hate doctors? Like, what was it to make you ask that question? And her answer back to me was so interesting that I decided to do this whole episode on that. She said to me, oh no, like, I don't actually think that midwives hate doctors. I just wanted to contribute to the podcast, and I thought I would hop onto Google and just start writing, why do midwives? And I just selected one of the most commonly asked questions. And one of them was, why do midwives hate doctors? And I was like, that is genius. I was like, what? This is crazy. So I thought, all right, on this episode today, I said, thank you very much. That was really, really helpful, actually, because you've just given me an idea for a topic for today's episode. And I thought I would go into Google right now while I'm recording this, start typing in, why do midwives? And I'll just start answering, you know, the top 10 that come up. So number one, and here we go. So I've written, why do midwives? The number one searched question is, why do midwives wear purple? I don't know what any of these are, by the way. This is the first time that I'm seeing them, and I'm just answering like straight off the bat. So that's a little left field. I'm presuming that the majority of people that ask this question are perhaps from overseas, and maybe midwives over there wear purple. I know in Australia there are definitely midwives that wear purple. I think in some different health services they wear purple scrubs, and some privately practicing midwives incorporate the color purple into their uniforms. Purple is a color that I see commonly linked to midwifery, and I think it's because the color purple is seen as, like, if we're talking in terms, and this is me just completely making this up, by the way, like, this is my opinion, the color purple has connotations of, like, gentleness, compassion, kindness,
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of the color purple. And I'm guessing, you know, it's not a very aggressive color. So I think it's very relevant to midwifery. And that's probably why we adopt that color. Actually, now that I mention it, I've sort of unknowingly, with my business Daisy, that is like all neutrals because I love a good neutral and I do get sick of different colors quite often. So I was like, let's, you know, make the brand colors nice and neutral. But I do have a pop of color and that's lilac. So there must be something in purple or lilac. I don't know. But anyway, I can't answer that question. Why do midwives wear purple? Because we like it. Next question. Why do midwives leave? And I presume that means leave the profession. That's the second most researched question, beginning with why do midwives? That's unsurprising. It's kind of sad, but at current, the way that things are going, and they have been going for many years now, is that there are a lot of midwives that are leaving the profession, particularly in the first few years, so early career midwives. And there's very, very little research going into why that is and what they can do to stop it. Because the concern is there are actually a lot of nurses and midwives that are starting to retire now and in more recent years, and they're rapidly, like, it's rapidly inclining the amount of nurses and midwives that are retiring. So we have like an aging population in the profession. So we really need to replace those beautiful, completely, massively experienced nurses and midwives so that we have a nice balance within the workforce of early career midwives that can really, you know, we're fresh, like straight from uni, up to date with all the knowledge, but we don't have those years and years and years of experience. So there is a massive gap in the profession, and it is concerning, actually. Like, this is me personally. There are a lot of midwives leaving in droves. And I did an interview only, was it last week or the week before? I can't remember now. School holidays. It must have been last week. And that was with a midwife that's actually doing research on the subject. And we had a really, really, really good conversation about it, why she thinks that it's happening, why I think that it's happening. And yeah, so there could be a myriad of issues as to why they're leaving. Try and make this as succinct as possible and in no particular order. Number one would be the culture within the workplace. Some people don't like the actual culture of midwifery. Number two would be work-life balance. So a lot of midwives, the majority of midwives, are mothers or parents, because there are male midwives as well. So to have that work-life balance when you're working a shift work job can be very, very difficult, especially when you need to do your share of night duties and afternoons and things like that. But if you're not working shift work, you would still need... I go to say stuff and I'm like, not all the time. There's always an exception to the rule. But typically, you would be working on call. So if you're a private midwife, birth just happens when it happens most of the time. So you're just going to have like be waiting by the phone and be able to drop everything just like that, which can be really difficult, especially if you're like your partner, you know, has a job where they can't just drop everything to look after the kids. You don't have a partner, you don't have much family support or friend support, whatever it may be. So yeah, work-life balance can be very, very off. Number three could be the pay. Pay is simply just not good enough for the amount of pressure, the amount of responsibility, the amount of trauma that we go through at work. Which brings me into number four, the amount of trauma that you could have sitting on your shoulders from what you've witnessed in the workplace or what other people have experienced, like traumatically speaking, and you've, bared witness to that, which really, really is impactful. What other reasons could people leave the profession? There could be so many different reasons, but I feel like they, and again, I dare say the money wouldn't be anywhere near like the top answers for that. But I definitely think it does come into play as well. But it would definitely be the trauma and ethically speaking, what's going on in the workplace and culture and work-life balance. That's what I think. Take it or leave it. Number three, why do midwives wear red shoes? I don't know. I can't say that I've ever seen a midwife wear red shoes. Again, maybe that's a different country that happens in. Where I worked, the healthcare service that I worked at, it was black shoes. So not sure, but that was part of the uniform. Next question. Why do midwives slap babies? Okay, there's a lot wrong with that question. So I'm presuming that people probably ask this question because they've probably seen it depicted in movies or TV shows or something like that, or they've been told about it. It's something that doesn't happen anymore. And if it is happening or you witness it happening, can you please report whoever's doing it? Because that is not best practice. That is not okay. Babies feel things and yeah, that's abuse. So let's not do that. But I presume if it's something that they've seen in a movie, it's typically because they used to, a lot of doctors used to pick babies up by their ankles or their feet and give them a slap on the back or the bum in order for them to take a breath or let out a big cry because they thought that was good for them. But now we know better, so that's not okay. So yeah, midwives don't do that. And if they do, they should not be a midwife and you should report it. Okay, next question. Why do midwives check blood pressure? That is because we need to know what your blood pressure is doing to know that you're healthy. So typically you'll have your blood pressure taken at your first like antenatal appointment, and that will give us a good baseline as to what your blood pressure is for your pregnancy. And then we can kind of see like when you have it done later on in the pregnancy at other antenatal appointments or what have you, whether it's risen or whether it's dropped. I personally suffered from low blood pressure in my third pregnancy, like really badly, to the point where I would always, it would be a big risk for passing out, which was really hard because I was on prac at the hospital. Oh, that was, yeah, not fun. So I said to my doctor, look, I'm feeling really dizzy. Something's not right. I feel like I'm going to pass out regularly. So he took my blood pressure and he's like, whoa, you're like sitting. And then he took my blood pressure standing. He's like, yeah, your blood pressure really drops when you stand. So you, I did actually, did I need extra blood or not? I'm going off on a tangent here. Anyway, so that's the low blood pressure thing. But typically we really want to make sure that you don't have high blood pressure, because that can indicate that things are deviating from normal, and that can be dangerous for mum and for baby as well. So particularly if we're talking about preeclampsia. So one of the indicators for preeclampsia is elevated blood pressure. So of course, if we see you like during your whole pregnancy and your blood pressure is like always, I don't know, 120 over 80, which is very normal, and then you come to your next appointment, everything's fine, you didn't just go for a run or anything, you've sat down and it's like 170 over 100, yeah, like we'd be like, okay, we need to check into this further. So it's just for your health. It's just to make sure that everything is just going as it should be. Next question. Why do midwives test urine? Again, for the same reason. We just want to make sure that nothing is deviating from normal. So you could turn up to your appointment and say like, I have a lot of pain when I pass urine. Boom, let's test your urine. And then we could tell straight away, oh, it looks like you have a urinary tract infection. Urinary tract infections can become really dangerous in pregnancy because if that infection travels up the urethra, and I'm trying to think of like layman's terms as well, so like way wee out of, and through the tubes back up into your kidneys, that can be really severe, and it can put you at a higher risk for preterm labor and delivery of your baby, which obviously we don't want to happen. So yeah, that's just another reason why we test for urine, as well as things like if you had glucose in urine, it could mean that you have gestational diabetes or just normal diabetes. If you have protein in your urine, it could show us that, yes, you may have preeclampsia, all that sort of stuff. So again, just to check that all the levels are nice and normal, or if we suspect that something's a bit off, we test and then we go from there. Okay, next question. Why do midwives leave the profession? I guess that's the same as the second question, which is why do midwives leave? The next question, which is what started this whole this whole episode, is why do midwives hate doctors? Look, I'm sure there's a lot of midwives that do hate doctors, just as much as there's a lot of midwives that don't hate doctors. There's midwives that love doctors. There's midwives that hate bad doctors and love good doctors. Like, yeah, it's a very, very broad question. I might do another episode on the history of midwifery and obstetrics, just so that, yeah, so we can get like a really good background on all of that. But I mean, midwifery has been around for centuries and centuries, and is typically conducted by women and is very woman-centered and family-centered, and very looked upon as a normal physiological process that just happens in life rather than a condition that needs to be treated, which is how oftentimes the medical model that is obstetric led treats women. That's like, you know, so that there's a jarring difference between the two. And so I think, of course, it's going to be common that there's a lot of friction between the midwifery model and the obstetric model. And then obviously led by midwives, led by doctors. Yeah, of course, there's going to be something that people pick up on. Again, hate is a very strong word, and I think at the, I'm not going to say that because I'm just going to keep rambling on. So let's chat about that in another episode, which I will be more than happy to talk about. But yeah, interesting that it's like one of the 10 most asked questions on Google that start with why do midwives. The final one that I have here is, why do midwives need, I should have checked these before I started this. Why do midwives need hot water? For lots of reasons, I presume. We would need hot water so that women could have warm water immersion, because that is a fantastic form of pain relief. Showers, or, you know, if they want to have a bath. We also need hot water for tea because we like drinking tea. I don't drink coffee myself, but a lot of other midwives do. So I'm sure they would love some hot water for some coffee. We also need hot water to do warm compresses on the perineum, if that's what the woman would like, where we wet like a cloth in warm water, wring it out, and then hold gently but firmly. Which I think those two can work together, gentle but firm. on the perineum, just to help with the stretching. What else do we use warm hot water for? If we can use it for other cloths to put on the woman's head. Hot water can be good when we have hot water bottles, although we're not allowed to use those anymore. Get rid of a lot of heat packs and things because of hospital policy. But yes, midwives need hot water. We need hot water to live. But you know what? If there's not hot water, I'm sure that we could, make do. Anyway, I said that was the final one. Let's just do one more. Let's just do what do midwives? What do midwives earn in Australia? Look, it says here the average midwife salary in Australia is $89,962 per year or $46 per hour. Interesting. I think when I started, I was on like $32 an hour, which is pretty crap, actually. But it goes up and up. I'm pretty sure there's like award wages and you can just Google it and review it somewhere. But it's important to know that a lot of midwives, the majority of midwives don't work full time. And I'm talking about in hospital, if you're doing shift work, a lot more will do something called 0.8, which is like 8 shifts a fortnight rather than 10 shifts a fortnight. I feel like we've ended that episode on like a really low note because it's just bizarre. Like, I don't need to be talking about money here, but I guess maybe someone out there is interested in a midwifery salary. Give it a Google, see what we're meant to be paid. But yes, anyway, hopefully you enjoyed today's episode. It was a little bit random. I took a risk there. The questions were interesting. Not what I expected them to be either, but yeah, I hope it entertained you at least a little bit. And thank you so much for tuning in today. This Thursday, we've got another episode coming out. That's a longer form episode. And the next Dear Dana is next Monday. Please join me then and I will speak to you then. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to share the love or get in contact with us for feedback or a chance to be a guest on the show, you can contact us at www.daisy.com.au. That's www.daisy.com.au or on our Instagram at the Oxytocin Hour, all one word. I appreciate you taking the time to tune in and I hope you've gained something positive from listening. Until next time.